days and nights on end. I want to taste you and take you inside me and make you mine.
Rachel, he grunted.
Yeah. She seized his hair to pull back his head so she could lick the entire length of his neck. I want to hear you screaming my name, too.
Rachel, I can't take you to bed until you get off of me.
There go all of my doubts, Onyx said as Alex pulled out of the parking lot on his motorcycle. His invisible companion rode on the back, holding him tightly. Following the two out of the biology lecture without being spotted wasn't difficult. They only had eyes for one another. They repeatedly stopped to throw one another up against this wall or that tree for long, hungry kisses between the lecture hall and the parking lot. Why do you think she went invisible again when they got on the bike? Onyx asked.
He's only got one helmet, Molly pointed out. If she's not wearing one, too, they'll get pulled over. But the books all say that demons with mortal flesh are super durable. If they get in an accident, she'll still be better off than he is, even though he's dressed for it and she isn't. If she's really a succubus...
But she can't be what she looks like, Molly repeated. Guess he won't be in photography today, Onyx frowned.
Well, what do you think?
I think she turns invisible. She has an aura that's conveniently so bright it can't be read. She crawled all over him while he's in class, and she's dragging him away from his responsibilities while everything about him screams, I need to fuck right now. Yeah, I'm pretty convinced of what she is, whether or not she looks the way she did on Friday.
Good thing I found these along the way, then.
Molly grinned. Onyx looked to her. Molly was holding up several blonde hairs. Holy shit, how did you get that?
Are you kidding? With the way they wrestled up against the wall outside the lecture hall, I'm surprised you didn't pull out a whole lock of her hair. So let's go home, get out of these fucked up clothes, and get to work. I think it's time we had a conversation with this chick.
Carlos collapsed behind Lydia, unable to hold himself upright anymore. She shifted from her hands and knees to help him lay on his back with his head on the pillows. Carlos breathed heavily. He'd been in frenzy for hours, with his orgasms frustratingly further and further apart. For Lydia, this was delicious progress.
Baby, he whispered hoarsely. I need water. I need...
I know what you need, Lydia said, straddling him. She shuddered with the pleasure, enjoying both the sex and the rapid deterioration of his strength.
Can't we rest?
He asked weakly. With some effort, he raised his hands to her hips, wanting to urge her off. She grabbed his wrists and flung them up and over his head, as if his arms were just limp objects attached to his shoulders. You rest, Carlos, Lydia reassured him. Relax. Let me take care of the rest from here.
That's not what I mean.
I know, Carlos, Lydia grinned. I know. It wouldn't be long now. She loved this part.
This is happening fast,
Alex said. Their voices in the elevator were hushed. Their body language couldn't be louder. Luckily, the older couple that had shared the elevator with them from the lobby got out on a lower floor, allowing Alex and his angel to wrap themselves around one another again. No, Rachel smiled. She had both her arms around his shoulders, her head tilted up a bit to look in his eyes, while her fingers ran through his hair. This has been a long time coming.
Maybe for you. You've been stalking me for days.
She shook her head slowly. I've wanted someone to look at me and hold me the way you do since before the tower fell. And I only wish I could explain, but you were long overdue. He smirked, then turned his head so he wouldn't be laughing directly in her face.
You have to keep all these secrets from mortals, but you just dropped a Tower of Babel reference on me like you were there for it.
I didn't tell you whether or not it was metaphorical or literal, jackass, she said, before planting a kiss that made him stop laughing. They were locked in it until the elevator stopped moving and the doors opened. Alex hardly noticed. Rachel had to be the one to break it off. At the door to the room, though, she stopped. A deep, unsure breath came in and out of her.
What's wrong?
Alex asked. I'm being selfish, she confessed. I'm rushing you. For fuck's sake, you're in no condition to resist a come-on like this. You've got a succubus encouraging you to make every decision with your cock. Your life is emotional turmoil. Alex, I'm crazy about you. But I didn't want to... He kissed her. Once again, she melted into his arms.
I'm not the only one here who deserves to be loved,
Alex said. She held his gaze, but at the same time seemed dizzy. You... She blinked. Do you mean loved, like, physically, or...
I love you, Rachel.
She seemed stunned. Her eyes just stared at him. Her mouth made small twitches, as if she were continually about to say something but couldn't. Finally, she got something out. Wow.
It's crazy, and it's too soon, and I don't care. I love you.
He spoke with calm, humble confidence. Her stare continued. Open the door, she said, in a voice barely above a whisper. He slipped the key card into the door. The shift in his attention helped Rachel regain her composure. Rachel waited for him to open the door, then tugged on his leather jacket to pull him in.
Gosh golly, Rachel, when are you going to realize I'm totally boring and not sexy at all? She teased.
Alex threw on the light switches. She walked only a few paces into the room. It wasn't until he threw the deadbolt that she turned. Rachel's eyes stayed on his, as her hands went to the shoulder straps of her simple white dress. She didn't tease or gyrate as she pulled the fabric down, but she freely let Alex watch as she pushed her dress down along her skin until it lay in a pool at her feet.
If you're going to keep looking at me like that, I may have to go nude any time we're alone, she said.
Her awestruck lover nodded.
I'll never complain.
I was afraid I wouldn't measure up to sex demon standards.
He blinked hard, not knowing whether that was a throwaway comment or an admission. It seemed ludicrous to him. Rachel appeared younger than Lorelai, stood an inch or two shorter, and her figure was lithe and athletic rather than voluptuous or alluring. But Alex hadn't thought for a second about primacy.
Don't ever worry about that again.
He breathed. She came close to him, bathing in his awestruck stare. Rachel pulled his jacket off and tossed it away.
Might want to ditch the shoes, she said, and watched as he slipped them off.
Her hands went to his belt as she kissed him. Before he knew it, the buckle was undone and she was unbuttoning his black shirt. When his hand slowly rose to her hips, she inhaled sharply but didn't stop undressing him. His touch slid upward, mapping her curves until she pulled his shirt off. She went straight from that to unbuttoning his jeans. As she handled this last bit of undressing, Rachel's eyes turned up toward his.
I love you, Alex, she said.
Again, she tugged him close and kissed him. His arms went around her as their kiss became increasingly passionate. When they finally parted, both of them breathless, Rachel's smile and joyful gaze returned. Her hands were still on his jeans, now completely unfastened.
So, lover, she grinned. Did you imagine me as romantic and innocent, or do you figure I'm a dirty girl?
He was still overwhelmed. It took him a moment.
I want you to be yourself.
Rachel slid his pants and boxer briefs down. She took his erect flesh in her hands, lightly but fondly caressing and stroking him, while she raised her lips up yet again for another loving, intimate kiss. Their lips and tongues slid together for many long, sensuous seconds. The smiling angel then pulled back and bent at the knees. Rachel kept her eyes on Alex's love-struck face as she licked the length of his cock. He let out a short moan, but before he could say this wasn't necessary, Rachel took him into her mouth. He thought he would fall. His whole body went weak as this intimacy overwhelmed him. Within moments, Rachel was working him over fiercely, no longer caring about holding his gaze, but rather focusing on bringing him to an unexpected height of pleasure. She didn't bring him to a finish. Rachel slowed again, looking up at him lovingly before she released him. When he was steady enough, she helped him get the rest of the way out of his jeans.
"Just a teaser," she winked.
Then Rachel hooked her fingers around his neck to pull him along with her as she stepped back. Alex stopped her before she got to the bed.
"Just so we understand each other,"
Alex said. He knelt before her.
"Oh, lover, you don't have to,"
Rachel moaned. He was slower with his oral attentions than she was, but beyond that, it was much the same treatment. Alex's hands slid around her ass while he explored her wonderful sex with his mouth.
"Fuck,"
she breathed as her eyes fell closed.
"Fuck. Oh, fuck. Never. Oh, I've never. Alex."
"Never?"
He kept at it. She was intoxicating. Luxurious. This was a joy. Her voice was weak.
"Would I lie to you? Oh, wow, fuck, that's, you're amazing."
"Then relax on the bed. I'm happy to keep this up."
Rachel's head shook.
"Not yet. I want you. I want you to take me first."
He couldn't deny her. Alex rose again, and after a kiss and embrace to steady her, she pulled him the rest of the way to the bed.
He said. "What about your wings?"
Rachel just smiled. She tugged him down as she sat down on the bed and laid back. Her wings faded right through the mattress.
"Wow,"
Alex breathed.
"Wow is right,"
the angel grinned, looking pointedly at his erection.
"For such a good guy, you carry around a whole lot of pure sin."
"Says my dirty girl,"
Alex grinned back as he joined her on the bed. She latched onto him, pulling her lover down against her with a joyous yelp.
"I am," she said between kisses. "I'm yours, Alex. Take me."
They lay together, exploring one another by touch, stoking mutual needs. Her legs soon parted. Her hands grabbed his ass, pulling at him eagerly. He slipped and teased and ground against her anyway, kissing her all the while. Rachel laughed in joyous frustration, fighting against the smile that made it so hard to kiss back effectively. The hand that slid over her breast helped a bit with that, turning her smile into a gasp of pleasure and heightened arousal. His fingers traced and ever so lightly pinched at her erect nipple. Their tongues intertwined. His cock kept sliding between her wet labia without actually penetrating.
"You're evil," Rachel whispered.
She had one hand around his neck. The other reached down to take hold of his flesh.
"You were the one worried about rushing things,"
he said. Alex began the slow, wondrous push between her lips. Rachel's grip tightened as she pulled on him. His cock spread her open and pressed into her. As if they weren't wild with pleasure already, joining together set their bodies alive. The rush of penetration overtook Alex from head to toe. Rachel pulled and writhed against him with equal joy. Her sex felt so good around his that he thought he might lose control at any second. Instead, that feeling stayed with him and never abated. He made another thrust, both fearful and yet unwillingly hopeful that it would set him off right there.
but it did not. Alex pulled back and thrust again, and then again, and then again.
Make me yours, lover,
Rachel urged. She bucked against him shamelessly, pulling on his hips with her nails scratching into his skin.
You're mine. We belong to each other.
Three layers, triple checked. It'll hold,
Molly said. She found no cracks in their summoning circle. No gaps broke the wax of the ritual circle beyond it, or the salt within it that enacted the summoning circle, or the circle of ash added to provide extra resilience. Satisfied, Molly put the magnifying glass down on the table.
You know your lines? Onyx asked. I do.
Molly winked. They were back to their normal clothing and back to their apartment. The upstairs neighbors were out for the evening, and the guy next door was at work. Heavy curtains blocked the windows. The pair enacted charms of discretion and disinterest around their apartment. It was all the privacy they could manage. Not for the first time, the young couple longed for an acceptable way to make some money with their practice. For one thing, they needed better digs.
I still figure this is going to take a couple hours. You ready?
Molly asked. She held a circlet of vines and stems. Interwoven within them were the strands of blonde hair Molly had found.
I love you, Molly, Onyx answered simply.
Molly grinned, took Onyx in her arms, and kissed her guilty look away. She leaned her forehead against her lover's.
This is why I'm with you,
the redhead reminded her.
There's no point to all this if we can't help our friends. It's not about you sleeping with him. I like him too.
Onyx nodded. She let Molly pull away, then turned to light the last candle. Then she frowned.
Wait, like him how? Oh, please, you knew I was a tramp when you brought me home. Molly laughed.
Alex had one hand slipped up under Rachel's head, pulling her hair just firmly enough not to hurt. She gasped in pleasure, encouraging him with even dirtier words than he'd ever heard strung together. His breathing became loud, even vocal, and as the intensity of their contact rose, their mouths came together in a rough, hungry, loving kiss. It went on and on. A beautiful sunset passed, followed by clouded darkness. They didn't notice. They lost all sense of anything other than one another. He didn't realize just how much this was like his first time. Their shared climax left them crying out, wet and uncontrolled and glorious. They clung together, trembled, gasped, and sighed. Awareness slowly returned without diminishing the wild pleasure or intimacy of the moment.
I love you, Alex,
the angel whispered. She sniffed. Tears fell from her eyes, streaming across her temples.
It worked. Oh, thank you, Lord.
Thank you. It worked.
Alex laughed a little.
Yeah, I was afraid I wouldn't get the job done there, too.
Rachel both laughed and sobbed happily.
No, you dummy. Not that.
She held him tightly as he trailed soft, loving kisses over her neck.
The binding ritual. We just completed it.
Ah.
Alex huffed. Then he blinked.
Wait. We did what?
Lydia was relentless. She allowed Carlos neither rest nor the oblivion of unconsciousness. He begged, at least while he could still talk, but all that did was make her smile. He would have cursed his virility and Lydia's unending merciless lust, but that thought didn't drift through his mind until he was incapable of speech. She watched for the sunset. These things had to be managed carefully. The window between the separation of the soul from the body and physical death never lasted long. Lydia reached past Carlos's head to pull the ritual dagger from behind the wooden headboard. Carlos couldn't tell what was happening anymore. He only barely felt the point of the dagger as it carved shallow, profane runes into his arms, his shoulders, and his chest. He didn't bleed much. That wasn't the point.
All the while, Lydia called out to her master. Lydia rocked harder against him, calling out wantonly in a tongue rarely used on Earth. Carlos let out a last, final sigh. His hands stopped twitching. Lydia continued to grind against him. Soon, a tiny puff of ash escaped his mouth. More puffed out of the cuts on his upper body. Lydia grinned in satisfaction when Carlos's hands grasped her hips with sudden strength, vitality, and urgency. The forceful, selfish rhythm left no illusion of the succubus having any further control. She was gripped, used, and then tossed to her side. Her partner rose off his back to look at his surroundings, then down at the smiling woman sharing the bed. Black smoke swirled in his eyes. "Lord Ball," she said, bowing her head in supplication.
"Tell me quickly why this is worth my while,"
said a much deeper and sinister voice than had ever come from Carlos before. Her satisfied smile was undiminished by her master's apparent irritation. Lydia said only one word. "Lorelei." What was once Carlos cocked his head curiously.
"What of her?"
"Belial has lost her. I know where she is."
"Why would you do this?"
Alex asked. He sat upright on the bed. Rachel lay next to him. He folded the comforter over her so he could think straight. He didn't want to think straight. He wanted to make love to her. She clearly wanted that too. But this was crazy.
"Because it'll help keep us together, Alex," Rachel explained.
She reached out to take his hand, speaking in a voice that was both loving and urgent.
"I'm telling you, it's not what you think. It's not what any of us thought. That urge to obey peaked like 3 days into this whole deal. You might get a few days to boss me around, which could be kinda kinky," Rachel noted with a brief grin. "But in the end, I'm not going to be your slave, not remotely."
"Lorelei doesn't disobey me," Alex said.
"Oh, like you've given her commands she didn't want? Look, maybe the ritual reinforces that, and maybe it doesn't. But you're the closest thing a demon like her could have to real freedom. She doesn't obey you because of the ritual, Alex. She's going along with all this because she loves you and respects you. That whole thing about not being able to lie to you is irrelevant to me anyway. I told you that straight off. I couldn't lie to you regardless."
"Yeah, but you can apparently hide things from me."
"Well, that's something Lorelei can clearly do too. She sure as hell knew this would happen. I think she was hoping I wouldn't find out."
Alex blinked.
"Why would she do that?"
"Hello, naughty sex demon. Why wouldn't she want us to hook up?"
Seeing his displeased look, Rachel finally expressed a little penitence.
"Alex, I'm sorry. I didn't tell you because I wasn't sure if it would still work, and I didn't want to freak you out. This doesn't change how I feel for you in the slightest."
"I'm a little freaked out,"
Alex put in sourly.
"You're taking a huge risk with your freedom."
"I'm really not," Rachel said. "I love you. I've never felt like this before. This bond between us, if anything, it helps keep us together."
"Why?"
"Because the one thing it does permanently is obligate me to defend you."
"I thought you would do that anyway."
"I am. That's not the point. That priest was at least smart enough not to try this without being damn sure that his slaves couldn't turn on him. He did a good fucking job on that, too. Even the angels couldn't figure out a way to break the bond, and now it'll be even stronger. So now, if Vincent does get his way and I get fired, I'm still bound to protect you. Like I said, I'd do that anyway. But this is something I can throw at anyone who tries to send me to bumfuck Egypt to convey prophecies and shit. They can't send me away from you now. They won't. The hosts can be ridiculous sometimes, but it's still heaven. They aren't cruel.
Alex sighed, looking away from her. She took his hand.
I love you, Alex.
I love you too, Rachel. It just seems crazy that you put yourself in this position. Even if the whole enslavement thing only lasts for a little while, I can't imagine why anyone would be okay with that.
Rachel gave him her best doe-eyed look.
Alex, love, I'm suffering from a terrible curse that makes me obey your wishes for like 3 whole days. Would you be a sweetheart and not order me around like I'm your slave?
She grinned at his reaction.
That's why. That might be Lorelai's kink, but you wouldn't push it on anyone else.
Is there anything else you're keeping from me? Anything at all?
Way too much for comfort, Rachel confessed. But virtually all of it is still stuff you're not meant to know. Please don't ask me to tell you such things. It would hurt you spiritually and psychologically.
Virtually all? What doesn't fall under that?
Rachel suppressed a grin.
Are you sure you're not still mad at me?
Alex almost snapped at her, but bit it back. There was no conviction behind it, anyway. He sighed, ultimately feeling annoyed at himself.
I don't know how I can be mad at you, or Lorelai. I'm mad, but I'm not gonna stay mad. And I know it, so fuck it, I guess.
He shrugged.
Kinda feel like a heel, but I love you. If you're this scared of being separated from me, well, I guess it's not like I know what it's like where you come from.
Can I pull the blanket off now?
He snorted out a laugh.
Oh, sure, turn my brain off again. What else aren't you telling me?
You know how Lorelai can feel it whenever you're with another woman.
She grinned mischievously as Alex made the connection.
Yeah, that. Oh, and your smoking hot girlfriend hit on me the other night while you were out playing pool. I almost went for it. Alex, she loves you, and I love you, but we might cheat on you together if you're not careful.
Huh, I can probably deal, but YouTube it or it didn't happen.
I'd rather you participate,
Rachel said, kissing him deeply.
You could have sold me on this if you'd told me about the last part of the bond,
Alex said softly.
We probably already blew Lorelai out of her mind. Once tonight already.
I like it too, Rachel agreed. Let's fuck her brains out again.
Lorelai was, in fact, out of her mind with pleasure. She had felt the first rush of Alex's desire when Rachel tackled him at school. She felt his longing for her rise in a spiral throughout the day. Lorelai recognized the taste of love in his desire from the beginning. Rachel played her part beautifully. Lorelai could probably have done better herself, but there was no need to criticize, no need to worry about technique or artistic flourish when sincerity, consistency, and intensity alone could get the job done. Who cared if Lorelai would have chosen a scalpel for a task that Rachel accomplished with a steamroller? Alex was wildly, deeply in love with someone who felt the same about him. Taylor saw Lorelai through the first throes of flirtation, but Lorelai knew enough to politely and affectionately, very affectionately, usher Taylor out in anticipation of the blissful insanity yet to come. This wasn't something Lorelai could share with Taylor. She suspected, rightly, that she would barely be able to interact with her environment when her prey and the angel made love for the first time, let alone acknowledge and involve another person. By the time Alex and Rachel headed to the hotel, Lorelai had the house to herself. She lay in her lover's bed, clad only in the short, slinky black nightgown she'd thrown on to see Taylor out, and rode the waves of ecstasy the bond provided. With only the first coupling between Alex and Rachel, Lorelei was left writhing on her side, while bone, sinew, and red skin sprouted from her back at the shoulder blades. Lorelei had hoped to share that particular moment with Alex. It might have disturbed him, but at the same time, he knew her for what she was. The growth of her demon's wings might not have been such a pleasant sight, but he would have been thrilled at the sign of her final recovery. Lorelei wanted to fly, but more than that, she wanted to enjoy Alex's touch in his bed, even with him miles away. It was every bit as good as having Alex herself. Not better, but not worse. Lorelei felt not a shred of jealousy, especially in light of this shared pleasure. With the ritual binding of Rachel to Alex complete, Lorelei expected the angel would share the same attitude. She glanced at the clock, only to laugh when she saw that the night was still young. They would be at this for hours. Lorelei was in for a long, wonderful night of monstrous white hands crashed through the bedroom window. They seized Lorelei by her arm and leg, pulling her like a rag doll out of the broken window. The hands flung her to the sidewalk 2 floors below. A cacophony of attacks fell upon her all at once. A longsword, an axe, a flail. She felt a baton and pepper spray and a searing pain that could only come from sorcery. The blades broke skin, and the rougher blows cracked bone, but none went so deep as to cripple her. A flesh-bound demon of Lorelei's stature enjoyed inhuman resilience, though not invulnerability. But for the steady torrent of power, drawn even now from Alex, the assault surely would leave her incapacitated, if not worse. Lorelei was disoriented and wounded. The blows continued. Most of them fell with inhuman strength. She tried to use her wings to block them, but she couldn't escape them all. Instinct and determination took over. Her tail lashed out, grabbing an attacker behind her and flinging him onto his back. Lorelei caught the baton before it fell again. She slashed with her other hand, nails growing to form talons. Fire erupted from the scars she left in the vampire. He fell back and burned. It was all eerily, unnaturally quiet. The street was engulfed in fog. More sorcery at work. The longsword came down across her back again. She buckled but withstood it. Something small and immensely forceful struck her in the cheek, sending her reeling. A bullet, she realized, fired from only a few feet away by someone in a cowboy hat. The shot didn't penetrate her skin, but the pain was immense. Another figure stepped between Lorelei and the shooter, hulking and brutish, wielding the flail. Lorelei spewed flames all over him. He shrieked in pain and fell back, but someone behind the circling corpses stood ready with a fire extinguisher. 2 people, actually. One of them blasted the burning man, the other blasted Lorelei. She twisted and moved, trying to get her bearings. The blows continued. Lorelei did her best to dodge what she could and shrug off what she could not. The pain mounted. She needed an escape. Her wings spread out. Lorelei looked up to see Harrow clinging to the side of Alex's building. His fist came down on her head, knocking her to her knees. He slashed across the bare skin of her shoulders with his claws, drawing from her a shriek of agony that didn't carry out into the street. His fist stopped coming. All the other blows resumed. Like every succubus, Lorelei was born to lead mortals to their destruction. Her victims were never men or women of benevolence, or even indifference. Few would argue that those Lorelei destroyed deserved to be treated with kindness. But Lorelei had been born to act without mercy, to feel neither affection nor pity, and to serve those who worked tirelessly to thwart the will of the divine in the mortal world and beyond. Her last thoughts were a silent plea to that divine presence to ensure the safety of the young man she so sincerely loved. Hell's most accomplished succubus knew she had no right to pray. She knew, but did it anyway. The last thing she saw, just as the cacophony of blows to her body ended, was a pale man in a pinstriped suit. With a sort of machine gun Lorelei hadn't seen in decades, he leveled it at her. Fire and smoke and lead erupted from the gun. Her world went black.
Wow. I love you,
Alex gasped. Tell me again, Rachel said, looking down at him. She glistened with sweat and beamed in the afterglow of another lustful frenzy.
I love you,
he repeated breathlessly.
But I need.
I know what you need, the angel straddling his hips said enticingly.
Water.
Water? Bah, you don't need water. You need more of me.
I need that too, but no. Need water.
He reached up to gesture randomly with one hand.
It's this whole cellular respiration thing that we mortals have to do.
That sounds like more of your silly science.
Can't have sex without it.
Oh, that's a problem, Rachel conceded. She pushed him back down as he tried to rise. Stay, I'll get it for you.
Oh my God,
Alex said as she stepped toward the refrigerator. What? Rachel asked, looking back over her shoulder. It required her to turn one of her wings down.
That ass,
he answered, looking amazed. She made sure her wings didn't block his view. You like? Alex smiled back at her.
It's amazing.
She sauntered over to the refrigerator, making sure to sway for him as she walked. She posed and tossed him a sultry glance as she opened the refrigerator, posed again to pull out a water bottle, then came strutting back. To her delight, he was plainly more fascinated by the view of her from the front. Rachel twisted the cap off of the bottle. No one's ever made me feel this beautiful. She vanished in a puff of scented smoke. The water bottle fell to the floor. Alex was bolt upright in an instant.
Rachel?
He quickly slipped out of bed, looking around frantically. The scent of the smoke reminded him of the cemetery chapel. He rushed over to his leather jacket on the chair near the door. Alex tore out his cell phone, dialed Lorelei's number, and waited in near panic. He heard no answer. Rachel stood in a small room lit up by candles. It looked like someone's apartment. To one side of her was a lovely young woman in a black dress and tall Doc Marten boots. Her hair was black and curled, her skin pale and smooth. On the other side of her was a pretty woman of similar age, but in torn black jeans, a dark t-shirt promoting a band with a logo Rachel didn't recognize, and jewelry with a consistent theme of leather and metal and studs. Her short red hair clearly wasn't natural. Neither of them looked terribly friendly.
Hello, nurse, the redhead breathed.
Oh, fucking hell, Rachel sighed. Not this shit again. The other woman frowned. Yeah, I don't think I'm buying the whole angel look with the swearing and the lap dancing in class. Let me guess. You were just getting nasty with a nice guy, about 6 feet tall, Boy Scout personality, should probably just now be getting out of his Monday night intro to lit class, rather than shagging otherworldly trollops. Rachel blinked. Who the fuck are you supposed to be, the truancy police? I thought they didn't do that shit in college.
I'll go get her some clothes,
the redhead mumbled.
She keeps talking dirty like that while she's naked, I'm gonna be really distracted.
He didn't park in the garage, not with the outside window broken. Alex parked his motorcycle outside, jumped off, and ran up to the gate entrance to his home, while fighting to get his helmet off. Along the way, he discovered the thick, white spray, shell casings and blood strewn across the walkway. He stopped. Alex had made it through 2 sessions of first aid since signing up for it last week, The instructor emphasized that a first responder has to be careful on coming upon a scene, lest the responder become another victim. Alex took a deep breath. He forced himself to slow down. Lorelai was either fine or she wasn't, but odds were that 2 seconds wouldn't make a difference on that either way. Not after he'd had to ride home from downtown, dodging traffic all the way. He kept moving in, but slowly. If Lorelai and Rachel were both gone, he wouldn't be able to rest until he found them. Not that he knew where to start. He'd have looked before now into how they were both summoned up by that priest, but he had no leads. It wasn't like Alex knew any better than Lorelai or Rachel where to find crazy magic dudes. Lydia. He'd have to start there. Way out of his league, but he'd have to start there. They probably paid for dinner at the restaurant with Plastic, and that would leave behind a name. Alex didn't know how he'd get that, but he'd have to find a way. Or maybe he could go back to the church where they brought Gorge. Maybe the angel there would help. Alex would have to call up the guys. They were smart. They'd help him figure this out. He opened the door to receive a punch in the face. Darkness and stars both exploded in his vision. He was rocked backward and then tripped by someone's leg. Alex fell onto his back on the concrete in front of his building's main door. Someone reached down to grab him by the lapels of his jacket. He was large and strong in his black trench coat. He wielded a short sword, like one of the ones that Romans used in all the movies. The pommel came down at Alex's head, but Alex narrowly ducked away. Alex flung his helmet up to crack it hard against the attacker's skull. His assailant staggered back. A blonde woman in a corset and black leather pants took the swordsman's place. She sprayed something at Alex's face from a small plastic device. Scorching hot pain overwhelmed his eyes. He could hardly breathe. Alex grunted and growled in pain, reflexively trying to cover his face.
"Pepper spray, Natalia, really?"
someone asked. Alex tried to throw a kick at the voice. He hit nothing.
"As if you're doing better, Talon," the woman responded.
"A lucky shot. He won't catch me like that again."
"Why is the demon just watching the sky like that?"
"I watch for threats beyond your ken, corpse,"
said a voice that sounded like a distant roar.
"Is he warded from clairvoyant sights?"
"Before the first blow fell," said a new voice.
"Then finish this,"
the otherworldly voice ordered.
"Our good timing may not hold long."
Something hard and round and painful hit Alex in the head. He reeled, turning away from it. The object came down on his head again. Unlike in the movies, it often took more than a couple of solid blows to knock someone out. Chapter 16. Friends help you move. Real friends help you move bodies.
"Alex is so scared right now," Rachel said with obvious worry. She tugged the black cargo pants on over her hips, having already donned the Sisters of Mercy t-shirt that Molly threw into the warding circle. Her wings spread right through the cotton fabric.
"If you did this to protect him, you could at least call him and tell him I'm okay. He's on his bike, and he's so fucking freaked out that he could get in a serious accident."
"We're not doing anything until we figure out for sure what you are," said Onyx.
"I told you I'm his guardian angel."
"Never heard of anyone sleeping with their guardian angel," Molly frowned.
Rachel shot her an irritated, resentful look.
"Alex is a special case."
The angel made a point of holding her tongue. She had more than a few choice words for these two, but gaining release as quickly as possible took priority over flinging insults. Rachel's foul mouth wasn't a symptom of thoughtlessness.
"Why's that?" Onyx asked evenly.
Rachel bit back her instinctive reply.
You obviously know a good deal of magic. You read his palm. I imagine you looked him over in other ways before you made love with him. You recognized how special he was after your first kiss. Those were the first words out of your mouth. This is really special. You knew that you could trust him with every imaginable intimacy. And, as much as you truly and deeply love your girlfriend here, Rachel noted, glancing meaningfully at Molly, you can't deny to yourself that making love with Alex was one of the most fulfilling experiences of your life. You never expected to open yourself to him the way you did, or to be let into his heart as you were. Not so quickly, but you were, and you longed to resume that connection. It's not because he's good in bed, Rachel continued to her stunned listeners. It's because he's a good soul, and your awareness of the universe makes you more sensitive to that than most people will ever be.
Onyx's eyes were wide. Molly looked to her with concern.
She'll never leave you, Rachel added, looking at Molly. Whatever her feelings for Alex might become, you are first in her heart. Onyx loves you like no other. You define and embody love in her heart and her mind. She loves you and accepts you and would never do anything to hurt you.
Much of what made her time with Alex so special was the ever-present thought that she owed all of that happiness to you and your approval.
She saw him, in part, as if he was a gift from you. He's not a rival. There can be no rival.
Huh, Molly said. Rachel looked to Onyx.
Your partner loves you every bit as much as you love her, she said. She doesn't want you to worry about anything.
She's a bit shocked right now, but she doesn't want to come between you and Alex.
What you feel for one another is beautiful.
How?
I'm an angel. There is nothing I understand as much as I understand love.
There was a long silence.
He's so scared for me, Rachel said. He's rushing home because he probably hopes to find help there, and he doesn't know what else to do.
Onyx drew in a long, deep breath. Her back stiffened. Well, she breathed, now that we've established that you were watching me with Alex on Friday, without my knowing it. Rachel let out a frustrated breath, looking upward.
Oh, fucking hell, she groaned. I try to say something nice to you, bitches, and...
Then Rachel gasped. She looked at the other two women in terrible fear.
Something's wrong,
the angel declared. Her eyes darted back and forth as if she watched something far away.
I can't see him.
I'm off work and home all alone. What are you up to?
Just leaving my friend Drew's house. Me and him and our friend Taylor were hanging out, playing Xbox, chillin'.
Jason adjusted the cell phone earpiece as he walked down the steps from Drew's apartment building and headed for his car. The odd fog that had rolled in had already rolled out again.
Taylor? That girl from the party?
Yep.
She'd better not have any designs on you.
Brittany sounded more playful than jealous, but Jason hadn't known her long. He had no idea if she was psycho or not, nor did he have any experience with psycho girls, or sane ones for that matter. Last weekend aside, of course.
Oh, I think she's got her plate kind of full right now, he said.
His eyes went wide at his own understatement. Taylor had wandered over to Drew's place sometime after sunset, looking for someone to talk to. It was easy to forget that Drew, having been pretty popular in high school, had hung out with Taylor and her usual crowd. But not so much that Drew was the first person Taylor turned to when she needed bro counseling. Jason had never imagined Taylor would need bro counseling at all.
Specifically, Taylor needed someone to hear her wide-eyed, breathless,
Can't believe I just did that confession of her lesbian demon sexcapades. She turned up looking a little tired and bewildered, and hotter than hell. Then she just laid down on the couch and dropped the bombshells about her weekend while she stared up at the ceiling. Drew's game character died instantly as he looked toward Taylor in shock. Jason's controller fell right out of his hands. It turned out that Taylor had an awful lot to say. Petty or not, Jason felt a little irked that someone had already one-upped the glory of his double blonde loss of virginity. The phone call from one of his guides into the awesomeness of sex had him feeling much better, though.
Wanna come over here?
I was headed home, actually.
Aw, come see me, Jason. I'm lonely and scantily clad.
You, what?
Jason blinked. He stopped in his tracks.
Brittany won't mind if I steal a little one-on-one time.
His sensibilities quickly went into all-out war. He had already caught hell over all this just yesterday from his parents. Still, Taylor's unexpected too-much-information dump had Jason feeling more than a little anxious. He didn't plan to call either of the Brits tonight. He didn't want to blow it by looking desperate, and he couldn't figure out whether or not one would be offended if he called the other first, but Brittany had just resolved all that.
Come on, Jason. I haven't been able to think of anything but you since you went home. Get over here and unleash the beast again.
That made up his mind. He inserted the key into the slot on his car door, smirked at the horrible symbolism there, and then heard the thump and the curse from down the block. Jason looked over. That was Alex's building. That was a limousine. And that was a limp body being thrown into the trunk. He quickly crouched down. Through the windows of the parked cars, Jason spotted several men, one in a cowboy hat and duster, another in a pinstriped suit with an old Thompson machine gun, and a third with a longsword strapped to his back. All three of them stepped into the limo. Jason jumped into his car, started the engine, and pulled out with a gutsier turn than he would ever make under any other circumstances. He hauled ass after the limo, slowing only to look up at the side of Alex's building to note that, yes, his window was smashed out. That was more than suspicious enough for him.
Brittany, I gotta go,
Jason said firmly.
What? What's wrong?
He was following men with guns who had just kidnapped or killed one of his best friends. He had no experience with this sort of thing. He didn't know where it would lead or what the hell he could possibly do about it, or what he would be able to do if they spotted him. There was a lot wrong right then.
I'll tell you later. Look, I swear to God, there's nothing I want to do more than come over and hit that like the hammer of Thor. But right now, I just can't. I'll hook up with you and wreck you as soon as I possibly can, okay?
Jason kept his eyes on the road, but as he drove, he realized to his horror what had just come out of his mouth. His jaw dropped at his own sheer stupidity. The hammer of Thor? Wreck you? Who says that? Jesus fucking Christ, why would I actually say that? He heard silence and then a single word.
Promise? How come we never hung out much before?
Taylor asked aloud. She still lay on the couch in Drew's living room staring at the ceiling. Drew sat on the arm of the couch near Taylor's feet.
You and me did hang out in high school. Ain't the first time you've been on the therapy couch.
No, I mean everyone. I always liked Wade. I always liked Jason. And Alex was... I didn't want to date him, but of course I liked him.
You're here now. We all love you. And it sounds like whatever you and Alex got going on is fine for the both of you. The... three of you,
he corrected teasingly, swatting her foot. Taylor put her hands over her face, laughing a bit.
God, I'm a total skank.
Hey, if you're a skank, we're all skanks,
Oh, whatever, Taylor said, waving off his comment. She stared at the spackling on his ceiling. Do you... I don't know how to ask this.
Just do it,
Drew shrugged helpfully. Do you get jealous?
Of what?
Alex, look at what he's got. He's slept with 3 women this weekend alone. 4, apparently, if you count whoever he was with Friday afternoon. And Lorelai's loaded and devoted to him, and she's just so... She's amazing, you know?
Shit, you'd know that better than I would, apparently. Skank.
He grinned.
Who the fuck else has he been with?
Some goth chick from North Seattle. And he got it on with Jocelyn at the party.
Drew's eyebrows shot up, and then he laughed.
Okay, now I'm jealous. That bastard.
I'm serious. You didn't know? He didn't say anything?
I think Alex isn't the kind to brag about this stuff. I mean, yeah, he had one motherfucker of a shit-eating grin when he first showed up with Lorelai. Know what I'm saying? But he ain't one for giving play-by-plays. You've told me and Jason a lot more than he has.
Drew gave her a teasing grin.
But it ain't like we didn't know he's getting all freaky. You haven't seen the angel either. Damn. Just damn.
Taylor looked over at him. She had seen her, actually, but couldn't remember much.
Is she prettier than Lorelai?
Nah, I wouldn't say that. She's crazy hot, but there's something... I don't know. They're different. Both put your jaw on the floor, though.
But you don't get jealous, all that, and you don't feel any envy at all? Not the other guys?
Well, I guess there's envy and there's jealousy. I mean, any guy who looks at that woman and doesn't want to hit that is like 100% gay, right? Like not even a little bit into girls. So she's cool, but man, you didn't see him when we were driving around with that demon guy in the minivan? Alex had this look on his face like he was just fucked. He was like, that's it. That's what I get to do from now on. Just hella crazy guys kicking my ass and trying to take my girl and all my friends getting hurt. That's gotta be some heavy shit there.
See, that's what I'm saying, though. You defend him. And look what he's got.
Look what I got, though. We told you earlier about the pool hall. The only complication there is figuring out how to tell our families and make sure it don't look dirty. But man, 4 days ago, I felt like I'd never be able to afford to go to college. Now I've got that licked. Hell, I'm probably gonna finally buy a car or move out of my mom's place here. Maybe both, if I keep working. And Jason's talking about maybe selling his share if we can figure out how to swing that fairly, because he doesn't want to be in business with friends. Said it's bad juju.
Taylor nodded. I didn't mean money, though. I mean women, sex.
Hey, Alex and Jason were the ones who never had girlfriends. Sherry's all over me. You can tell me grass is greener for Alex, but I wouldn't know, because I'm busy taking care of my own. And Wade ain't even been looking for a girl, but I think he picked one up the other night.
I know Trish. She's a sweetheart.
Drew nodded.
I think Wade's just looking for someone to talk to after all the shit he's been through. So, no. No jealousy there. And Jason?
He tried to go on, but just laughed.
What?
Taylor grinned.
Jason, oh man, that fool. Taylor, you aren't the only one who's been...
He gave up trying to talk and laughed more.
What? Tell me,
Taylor said, nudging his leg with her foot.
He went home with 2 of those blonde Brittany girls from the party.
Taylor's jaw dropped.
Jason did?
Yeah.
Drew nodded.
He came over and plopped down on the couch just like you did, like he was still in shock. I guess those girls are freaky, He's all blown away, his hickeys haven't all faded yet, and he's getting texts from both of them like crazy. And his parents found out, like, immediately. I guess one of them slipped her panties in his pocket, and they fell out when he got home.